The minister, S.D. Gordon, used to tell the story of an old Christian woman whose age began to affect her memory. She had at one time memorized many passages of Scripture, but her memory was failing, and the only verse she could remember was 2 Timothy 1:12 that says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." As time went on, little by little, she couldn't remember all of the verse. She could remember the last part of it, "that which I have committed unto him," but she could not remember the first part. Finally, she neared death. Her loved ones were called to see her, and they noticed her lips were moving, and she was reciting the verse. She could now only remember one word, and the one word of the verse she kept saying over and over again was, "him, him, him." She couldn't remember any more than that one word, "him." And that, ladies and gentlemen, was all she needed to remember. She could only remember one word from the Bible verses, the pronoun "him," but that one word was enough. If ever there is a text that makes that point clear, it is Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. Jesus Christ is all you need to be complete in your relationship with God. Jesus Christ has achieved and accomplished on Calvary everything necessary to make you complete before him. As the songwriter Alvina Hall says, "Jesus paid it all." The Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossians, who were being told by various heretics that Jesus Christ was not enough. Some were saying you gain complete standing with God by your works. Others were saying that you gain complete standing with God by keeping the law. Some were saying it came through a deeper secret type of knowledge. All of these people were dead wrong, because complete standing with God is only found in Jesus Christ. And when Paul writes Colossians 2:11 to 15, that is precisely what he wants the believers to realize. Everything we need and have in our relationship with God is completely and fully found in Jesus Christ. Everything we have or ever will have in our relationship with God comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven that can do what Christ has done for us. There is no other person who can give us the status that Christ can give us in a relationship with the Lord. You might be listening to this today and wonder, well, what has Christ ever done for me? What has Jesus Christ ever accomplished on my behalf? Well, in Colossians 2:11 to 15, there are four key accomplishments that Christ has made in behalf of all of us. Accomplishment number one, we have been made complete in Jesus Christ because we've been circumcised in Christ. I'm reading from Colossians 2:11, "And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, physical circumcision in the Old Testament meant that one was a child of God, one was consecrated to God, one was separated from the rest of the world according to the nation Israel. Physical circumcision was a one-time act. It was the one key Old Testament way to connect one to Abraham and to God. Physical circumcision was only and obviously performed on males, not females. But spiritual circumcision in the New Testament often symbolizes the same kind of thing. One is a child of God. One is consecrated to God. One is separated from the rest of the world by faith in Jesus Christ. And unless a heart has been circumcised by faith, it is a heart that is alienated from God. Spiritual circumcision is performed on both male and female hearts to any who will believe. And unless one is circumcised by faith, one is cut off from God. Now, the point that Paul is making in Colossians 2:11 is this. By faith in Jesus Christ, we've been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Christ has spiritually made us right with God. He has removed the body of the flesh, which makes our old Adamic status changed, and we're a new creation. We've been born again by a circumcision of Christ. It is a spiritual circumcision and surgery of the heart. Paul said in Galatians 6:15, "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." So the moment you believe on Jesus Christ, your whole position in the sight of God instantly changes. We literally, in God's mind, are complete and pure in our relationship with him. Your old sinful status is completely cut away, and you are connected to the holy God of the universe. Now, the truth is, any doctor can perform physical circumcision on a male. But there's only one who can spiritually circumcise both male and female's hearts, and that is Jesus Christ. And once you come to faith in him, you have a brand new status with God. I know of a case in which a physical circumcision was done sloppy on a baby boy, and that boy had to go back in for another surgery because some of the skin was missed in the first circumcision. That'll never happen with Jesus Christ. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, there'll be no sin overlooked. There'll be no sin that'll be missed. You'll never need another spiritual surgery once you believe on Him. He will circumcise your heart forever, and forever you will be right with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this today and you're a man, it doesn't matter in the sight of God whether you are physically circumcised or not. What does matter is whether you've been spiritually circumcised in your heart. If you want a heart that's pure, if you want a heart that's clean, if you want a heart that's fresh and alive, you invite Christ into your life. He will circumcise your heart and do a spiritual surgery that no one else can do. The second accomplishment is we have been made complete in Christ because we've been baptized into Christ. Verse 12 says, having been buried with Him in baptism. Just as we trusted Christ as Savior and there was a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ without hands, so there also is a spiritual baptism performed by Christ without hands. The baptism referred to in this verse is spirit baptism, not any water baptism. The baptism referred to in this verse is a real baptism, not a ritual baptism. At the moment a person trusts Christ by faith, the Spirit of God baptizes that person into Christ. At that precise moment in the mind of God, a person is so truly and really identified with Jesus Christ that we are already raised with Him and, according to Ephesians, seated in the heavenlies. Now, if you could see this verse in the Greek text, you would see that it literally reads, we've been buried with Christ in the baptism. The baptism that is without hands baptism is spirit baptism. So at the moment you believe on Christ, God's Spirit so links you to Jesus Christ that you are alive to God. How does it happen? When did that happen? Well, look carefully at what Paul writes in Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith. How did it happen? Through faith. The moment you believed on Jesus Christ, God identified you with everything Christ is and everything Christ accomplished. Now you think about that today. You've been crucified with Christ, but the nail prints are not in your hands, they're in His. You've been buried with Christ, but the death was not your death, it was His. You've been seated with Christ, but the honor is not ours, the honor is His. Truly, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are totally complete in the sight of God. Nothing we could ever do, nothing we could ever accomplish, nothing we could ever become could ever give us a standing in the sight of God that is that righteous. It is only by faith in Him. When we believe, God calculates us so linked to the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary that we are, as Curtis Vaughn said, those who share in the experience of Christ's own death and resurrection. You will never have God's power in your life by some religious system. You will never have God's power by some philosophical course. You will never have God's power through some human work. God's power is only found in you by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Him means God's power is working in you. Instantly, when you believe, God's power is so operative that you are immediately identified with all that Christ did and is. John said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the power, the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So the moment you believe on Jesus Christ, you are circumcised in Christ, you are baptized in Christ. And thirdly, we've been made complete in Jesus Christ because we've been made alive in Christ. I'm reading from verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, in order to understand the depth of this text, there are two key points that Paul brings out in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. First of all, Paul describes what we previously were in the first part of Colossians 2, verse 13. Before we invited Jesus Christ into our lives, before He circumcised our hearts, before the Spirit of God baptized us into Christ with a circumcision and baptism that was without hands, God's view of us was not favorable. Now, if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're about to hear how God views you apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Now, our relationship with God is not determined by our estimation of ourselves. We may look at ourselves and think we're pretty good people. We're a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good girl. You're just as good as everybody else. But you see, God's estimation of us is not determined by our estimation of ourselves. It is determined by how God estimates us himself. And apart from Jesus Christ, that is, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we are dead in a relationship with God. Now, there are specifically two ways that God views us apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, we were continually dead in our transgressions. Verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions. Now, in the original language, there's an article before the word transgressions, which means prior to faith in Jesus Christ, we were dead in our relationship with God by virtue of the fact that we specifically transgressed and trespassed against God. We have all taken specific false steps that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the will of God. We all broke God's law, and we all are guilty. Prior to faith in Jesus Christ, one is not just dead in his relationship because of sin. One is dead in his relationship with God because of his own sin. You and I have sinned against God, and we are dead in a relationship with him because we have sinned against God. Each person, whether man or woman, boy or girl, teen or middle-aged person, old person or young person, each person has transgressed the law of God. Each person has stepped over the line. Each person is guilty as charged. In the debacle of the O.J. Simpson trial, case prosecutors made an incredible case that there was a trail of blood that led from the driveway of O.J. Simpson right up into his bedroom. Well, when God looks at every single one of us, he sees a trail of sin that leads right into our lives, right into our person, and right into our hearts. And we are all dead in our relationship with him. We are all guilty as charged. And there will be no acquittal of us when we get before God because we happen to think we're a pretty nice guy. The second way that Paul describes what we previously were is we were continually dead in our uncircumcision. Verse 13 says, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In our own flesh, by our own nature, we are not a child of God. We're not consecrated to God. We're separated from God, and we are dead in our relationship to God. We were dead in our hearts. We had, as Jeremiah said, a heart that was deceitful and desperately wicked. Apart from trusting Christ, our best works are as filthy rags. We are an uncircumcised transgressor who's alienated from God. Until we're willing to come to terms with the reality that Jesus Christ is God and he is the only way that we can have a relationship with God, we're not alive in our relationship with God, we're dead. Dr. John Eady said uncircumcision of flesh was the physical mark of a heathen state. And what Paul is saying here is that prior to faith in Jesus Christ, God saw us as heathens. And it doesn't matter who you are or what church you're in or how religious you may think you are. From God's perspective, from God's analysis, apart from faith in Christ, we are dead in our transgressions and uncircumcised in our flesh. We are a walking corpse, spiritually speaking. And there's only one way to have that status change in the mind of God. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. In him you are made complete. Which brings us to a second point. Paul describes what Christ personally did for us in Colossians 2, the middle of verse 13 to verse 14. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, Jesus Christ personally and positionally made us alive to God. Being made alive to God is by being joined to Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, made you alive together with him. You cannot be made alive in a relationship with God until you're joined to Christ. Once a person believes on Christ, one is so joined with Christ that everything he is and everything he accomplished means that that person is no longer dead in a relationship with God, but completely alive. Now, there is one ingredient that is needed in order to be alive unto God, and that is spelled out carefully in these verses. All our sins and transgressions must be forgiven. In order for us to be alive in a relationship with God, there can be no sin that God sees. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson said of this last participial clause, one of the greatest blessings of the new life is expressed by the concluding clause of the verse, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And that word forgiven is a beautiful Greek word. It carries with it the idea of graciously and freely and fully granting total forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul is saying that when you believe on Jesus Christ, God so identifies you with Christ's work on Calvary that all your transgressions and sins are completely and fully and freely forgiven. Your slate is white clean. I do not know all of the times and all of the ways that you have sinned against God and transgressed against His word. I don't need to know. You may be a person who's told so many lies you no longer even know when you're telling the truth. You may be a person who's stolen so many things you don't really know what really belongs to you anymore. You may be one who has committed so much immorality that you don't even realize what's moral anymore. You may be a person who's aborted a baby and you walk around like you're some convicted killer. You may be so covetous or insanely jealous that you cannot even relate properly to anybody anymore. Listen, your slate can be completely wiped clean. All your transgressions will be forgiven in Jesus Christ. In Christ, it can be said, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And David said, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You'll not find forgiveness from all of your sins in a temple. You'll not find forgiveness from all of your sins in a confessional. You'll not find forgiveness of all of your sins in a church, in a religion, in your works, in a law, in a course, or in an education. You will only find complete forgiveness of all of your sins in Jesus Christ. It's just like Robert Lowry said, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And by the way, those of you listening to this today who have believed on Jesus Christ need to believe the Word of God in that all your transgressions are fully forgiven when you trust Jesus Christ. You have no right to walk around with some guilt complex when in God's mind your slate is completely clean. I've known some who can't seem to forgive themselves of their past sins. Some Christians give God everything except their sin. And God says, I have taken away your sin. When you come to me, you're clean. You're totally distorted in your thinking and theology. If the Holy God of the universe forgives you all your transgressions when you believe on Jesus Christ, how dare you walk around depressed about your own transgressions and build a case against yourself when you've been set free from those sins? You are fully and freely forgiven in Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. How dare any person think that Christ isn't enough to take away sin when the Bible says He is? We have no right to hold sin against ourselves when we've been to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we do not have any right to hold sins against anyone who's been to the cross of Jesus Christ. If God has set him free of sin, we need to promote that same kind of thinking because that's the truth of the Word of God. Now, Paul qualifies the full forgiveness of all sins by describing two specific aspects to the forgiveness work of Jesus Christ. They're spelled out in verse 14. Aspect number one, Jesus Christ canceled out the handwriting against us. I'm reading from Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. There is a legal case that God has against every person today, every single one of us, and the legal case that He has is we've broken His law. If you read through the Old Testament very carefully and read the Old Testament law of God, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, you read those books, Leviticus, you will discover sooner or later you're going to run across things that say don't do this or do this, and you'll have to, if you're honest, say I haven't done that or I did that and shouldn't have done that. We have all broken the law of God. Now the promise here is that Jesus Christ can cancel out this law case against us. And that word cancel is one that means to wipe off and wipe out. Jesus Christ completely wiped out all against us handwriting. The handwriting is a reference to the written law of God. The law of God, which consists of all its decrees, all its ordinances, was written by God, and it condemns us all. We are all indebted to keep the whole law, and none of us have ever made it. In fact, through the law, the whole world becomes guilty and accountable before God. We have a problem in that every one of us have transgressed against the law of God. All the decrees of God in the Old Testament cry out, "You are guilty, you are guilty." All of the decrees in the Old Testament law cry out to all of us, "You do not measure up to the holy standards of God." Now, God cannot just overlook the fact that we've broken His law. He cannot just turn His head to our sin and to our transgression. If we're going to be right with God, someone must wipe out completely the debt we owe to God for breaking His law time and time and time again. And the only one who can cancel it is Jesus Christ. And I like what Dr. Nicholson said in his commentary. The document against us is not just erased, it is completely removed. As you read through the Old Testament law, and you discover, if you're honest, that you've never measured up to the commandments that are in that Old Testament law, just remember, when you believe on Jesus Christ, Christ has completely wiped out God's writing that condemns you. All of your transgressions are forgiven by Jesus Christ, and He is the only one who can do it. The second aspect of the forgiveness work of Jesus Christ is that He has taken out the handwriting against us. I'm reading from Colossians 2:14. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now that verb taken is perfect tense, meaning Christ's work on Calvary removed all of our sins at one moment of time and continues to cancel out all charges against us in the present and on into the future. And the word "out of the way" is the same construction used in 1 Corinthians 5, which speaks of excommunication. What this means is that Christ has completely removed, He has completely excommunicated the law from having any claim over the believer. In the mind of God, all legal charges against us have been nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you are set free. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson said, "Christianity is not concerned with the sacrifice we make, but with a sacrifice we trust." When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, a handwritten sign was put up above His head which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This is what the world saw. This is what Satan saw. But when God looked at that cross, He saw a different handwritten document hanging there. His entire law that condemns everyone was nailed to that cross. And when you trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, the whole legal case against you is wiped out. You are set free and all your sins are forgiven. All accusations that God can legally bring against you are completely wiped away by Jesus Christ. If Christ is in your life, God's case against you is closed. You are alive in your relationship with God. You are no longer dead. You are no longer doomed. You are no longer damned. And if you've never invited Christ into your life, do it today. And you'll be set free from everything by the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do have Christ in your life, then believe the Word of God. You've been set free from all of your sin with all of its guilt and stain. It's gone. Which brings us to the fourth accomplishment. We've been made complete in Jesus Christ because all powers have been disarmed and displayed. I'm reading from Colossians 2:15. When He disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. The word "display" means that Christ made a show and an exhibit to all powers that He had disarmed the claim that all had over us. He made a display of Himself that showed that He had just given a crushing blow to anything that could condemn us, and that display He made was on Calvary. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the cross turned out to be the greatest defeat ever suffered by all forces of evil. Christ died on the cross and He freed man from all of his sin and from all legal charges that God's law could bring against him, and He triumphantly displayed that for all to see in His resurrection. Satan and his forces have been completely disarmed and discredited by the cross work of Jesus Christ. In the Middle Ages, a popular monk announced that he would preach a message that night on the love of God. The place was packed. The monk was seated on the platform, and when the service began, he never moved. The people stared, wondering when he would begin. The sun outside began to go down. Soon it was dark. The monk lit a candle, and he walked to a figurine of Jesus Christ. He took the candle. He let it shine on the wounds of His feet, then on His hands, then on His side. Then He let the light shine on the thorn-crowned brow. He never said one word. That was His sermon. That was the love of God. Many people stood and started to weep because for the first time, many understood God's salvation and God's love are only found in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not see a more powerful text of Scripture than this one here in Colossians chapter 2. Because this passage of Scripture says, everything that you need to have a real, vital relationship with God is found fully, finally, and completely in Jesus Christ. The pronoun Him is enough. If you want forgiveness from all of your sins, it will not be found by you going to some confession and talking to a man. It will not be found by your asceticism or catechism. If you want to be set free from your sin, from your guilt, and from your burdens, it will be found in Jesus Christ. God's legal indictment against you has been nailed to that cross. And if you will, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ, and you will believe that only He can set you free from the court case that God has against you, you shall be saved, and you shall be set free from all of your sins. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, and He'll cut out all evil that could condemn you. You believe on Jesus Christ, and you will be fully and completely and finally saved. Father, take Your word and do a powerful work of grace in the minds of the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.